The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams.
Episode 33 of The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories, recalls the 2004 season. The three previous years were some of the toughest Kerry fans had to endure in modern times. Could a changing of the guard coincide with a change in All-Ireland fortunes?
Part 1.
Paddy O'Shea's time in charge of the Kerry football team came to an end in 2003. Jack O'Connor was appointed to the manager's position in October of that year. A South Kerry man, O'Connor had served with O'Shea as a selector, as well as having taken over from him at the helm of the county under-21s. Jack O'Connor admits it was a big ask to step into Paddy O'Shea's boots.
Was it daunting? It was, obviously, of course. Yeah, taking over from Paddy, you know, who was a legend of the game and always would be. So it was, of course, yeah. It was a tough job. But look, I'd been soldier away with the under-21s for a year, so sure, everyone likes to have a go at the big job.
Jack O'Connor's brother, Joe, has since revealed the poignant moment their late mother was told that he was going to be manager.
She was actually dying in the hospital when they told her that he had a job got, and she said,
and Ger O'Keefe to serve with him as selectors. Pat Flanagan was also brought on board as team trainer. Kerry forward Mike Frank Russell firmly believes the appointment of Flanagan was crucial.
He was very thorough in his preparation. He was very scientific. He seemed to, you know, tell you what you were training for, and he'd explain everything. I thought he was very good, and he brought a lot of freshness as well and new ideas. And I suppose sometimes something new is good as well, you know. He's very meticulous as well, as I said, and he definitely helped us. You know, he brought a scientific approach to it, and Kerry reaped the benefits of it.
Going into the 2004 season, Kerry had endured 3 years of significant lows. The Kingdom had been hammered by Meath in the 2001 All-Ireland semi-final, lost the 2002 final to Armagh, and were then beaten by Tyrone in the 2003 semi-final. Kerry forward Cullum Cooper was determined to make up for the shortfalls of those years.
We went into 2004 saying that we didn't want to be leaving Croke Park without any silverware, having done it the 2 years previous, and we made a conscious effort that we were going to leave no stone unturned in trying to bring this All-Ireland back to Kerry. We did everything as professionally as we can, we prepared as best as we can, and we went to probably levels that we hadn't maybe done before as players, and did a little bit extra, and that was the bit that counted.
Jack O'Connor's first game in charge ended in a shock defeat, Kerry being beaten by a last minute goal in a National League game against Longford. Liam Hassett says the reaction to that defeat set the tone for the season ahead.
You were saying, Jesus, is this the start of our year in 2004 where we can't even beat Longford? But Jack really was able to talk to the players, and he really analysed things afterwards. You know, I mean, it was a bit of a fluke that Longford beat us that day. Jack, he great man to get the panel working together, every fella you know, being positive about everything and working for each other in training and trying to get the best out of everybody. And we had a great physical trainer as well, then as well, Pat Flanagan. You know, so Pat, fellas are in good shape. I think we had a very strong panel.
A Munster Championship quarter-final away to Clare brought the curtain up on Kerry's 2004. The first score came to Clare, a point after 3 minutes. Kerry's first offering was more telling.
Seamus Mayan just touches it forward. Long ball in. That's taken inside there towards Cullum Cooper. In the centre, Mike Frank. Getting inside there. Kerry, chance for Johnny Crowley. A goal for Kerry! A goal for Kerry. Owen Broughton it was, who set up Johnny Crowley. And Crowley, the goal scorer in chief, into the corner of the net after 4.5 minutes. Declan O'Keefe, nicely worked goal.
Nicely worked goal. I think Owen Broughton cut through the centre there and gave a great ball into Johnny Crowley, and no better man to finish him off.
That 5th-minute goal set Kerry on their way. After 28 minutes, it was Kerry 1-4, Clare 1 point. The Kingdom led 1-6 to 3 points at half-time. Already, the game was beyond Clare. By the midway point of the second half, Kerry were ahead by 1-10 to 5 points. An Owen Broughton goal in 22 minutes was the only incident of note from there to the end.
A message to Owen Broughton. Owen Broughton coming to the 14-yard line. Owen Broughton still going on left for it, and it takes a shot. It's into the back of the net, off a Clare defender. It went in of Conor Whelan, who tried to scoop it away, but only succeeded in putting it into the net.
Kerry prevailed by 2-10 to 9 points. The old firm of Kerry and Cork met in the Munster semi-final. The sides were level on 2 points after 16 minutes. Kerry then reeled off 5 points in a row.
Seamus Moynihan out into the Cork half of the field. A low ball forward for Cullum Cooper. Cooper picks the ball up. Now can he get free this time? He just has to hit transfer from out the field. That's a brilliant point by Cullum Cooper. And Noel O'Leary could go
know nothing about that.
An absolutely wonderful point by Colm Cooper, kicking into the dressing room goal here in the sun-filled Fitzgerald Stadium. Seamus Mine and the investment came up the feed, passed the low ball into Cooper, in along the ground. He went down, cut it, and Noel O'Leary was behind him. He just turned around with the left leg and straightened through from inside the 40.
It's not as well as a man, and the top goalkeeper is very annoyed with that decision, and I must say, I think we got a small rub of the relic there.
Well, Liam Weed, an absolutely perfect view of that ball here. Colm Cooper, he took the ball from Seamus Mine and turned around this time with his right leg, pulled the ball, and to me, I thought it had just gone wide of the post at this side. Remember, they're kicking into the dressing room goal, into the entrance goal here at Fitzgerald Stadium, and from just underneath the hill. Remember, Colm Cooper is underneath the hill, turned around his right leg. I thought he might have pulled it wide, and as you say, the cock goalkeeper wasn't too happy.
Dar O'Shea dropping it across. Johnny Crowley is underneath this, with the ball breaking out. Mike Frank coming out after it, out to the 21 yard line. Mike Frank, Sean O'Brien with him as ever, getting it out. This is Owen Brosnan, and that's a brilliant point by Owen Brosnan. A typical around the corner kick, like Mick O'Dwyer used to so well, and it's over the bar. 5-2 in favour of the Kingdom after 22 minutes of play.
Yes, and it all came from the sideline ball in the from the stand side of the field by Dar O'Shea. Long ball across the field, it broke out and it went to Owen Brosnan. Owen Brosnan, the croak man, turned around, right leg over the bar,
and has it. Send a high ball inside. Mike Frank coming out to grab the hopping ball. Cooper, Colm Cooper gets taken off Sullivan inside, and he's come down.
And it should be another point up for Kerry from Mike Frank's free.
Here comes Mike Frank and sent it over the middle of the cross path. 6-2 in favour of the Kingdom after 23 and a half minutes of play.
A bit of pushing there under the kick out, crossing the far side. The field is a free in for Kerry. Dar O'Shea, when eventually Liam Hassett allows him, but Mike Frank has come out. He's come out 55 yards actually to kick this one, or almost 55 yards. 28 and a half minutes gone in the first half. Mike Frank generally kicks the longer ones from his hand, and the referee is telling the Cork player to come forward, and Mike Frank obliges. But in other words, telling the Cork player to get back from the ball. He's going to kick this one with the left foot. He drives it high, drives it well, and drives it all the way over the bar. That is a magnificent point by Mike Frank Russell, over 55 yards out with the left foot. No mistake, we get class point. Oh, class point by Mike Frank Russell. As three watermen come running into the field with battles, he was well outside the 45, 50, 55 metres out with the left leg. He went well back. He took a run up to the spot where he had been fouled, and with the left leg kicking into the dressing room goal here in Fitzgerald Stadium, straightened through over the bar. That's his fourth point off a freeze. Colm Cooper is two off a play, and Owen Brosnan is two off a play. Kerry edging away.
6 minutes to go to half time. Kerry led 7-2. Cork pointed 4 minutes from half time, and the sides turned around with Kerry ahead 7-3. In the very first minute of the second half, Cork made it 7-4. Kerry put over four unanswered points to go 7 in front by the 14th minute.
Kick out coming between Dar O'Shea and Dermot Hurley. Ball breaking down. Moss O'Shea racing onto it. It's not the first time he's done this. Moss O'Shea come way up. He's within 40 yards. A bloody good shoulder there from Martin Cronin. But Shea has regained his feet and gets the ball out. He got a good rattle there, but that's a nice ball across field here. William Kirby. Kirby into a shooting position now, and he makes no mistake over the bar. Point for William Kirby and Kerry. Declan O'Sullivan taking on Martin Cronin here. Coming into the 21. Declan O'Sullivan has got past Martin Cronin. He's still going on. Cronin getting back at him. Getting the ball back to Mike Frank. Mike Frank turning fast, sending it high and over the bar. Lovely score. Tackled by William Kirby, but gets the ball inside. That's towards Mihalo Cronin. Mihalo Cronin drops it under pressure from a captain. Tomás O'Shea again picks it up for him and Fitzmaurice. Fitzmaurice out to Dar O'Shea. Dar O'Shea on for Kirby. Kirby 70 yards out. 50 yards out. Punches one in for Mike Frank. Mike Frank has won this one. Fist it out along towards Colm Cooper. Colm Cooper going in the centre, trying to get past Derek Cavanagh. Left foot at the ball, drives it high, but it's gone over the bar. Wonderful score by Colm Cooper. An absolutely superb point by Colm Cooper. What a beautiful player he is. It's lovely to watch him when he's in action, because you don't know whether he's going to sell a dummy. You don't know whether you're going to kick it with his left, kick it with his right. That one, he was at the end of the move. Great work again by William Kirby. And with the left leg, Colm Cooper, the Gooch Cooper, turned the ball straight and through over the bar. They're lovely point.
Kick out, coming out. Martin Cronin misfields. Jack Lawson accepts the gift. Sends a low ball inside. That's the ball is for Mike Frank, but Mike Frank was being fouled. And the referee has awarded a free in to Kerry for a little bit of jersey pulling. And there's an objection gone in from Cork. And the referee is bringing the ball into the 21 yard line. And here comes Mike Frank to exact the punishment as he sends it high and sends it over the bar.
In the 17th minute of the second half, Kevin McMahon had Cork's fifth point of the day. Kerry went on another scoring spree. After 29 minutes, Kerry led by 15 points to 5. The game ended 15 to 7. The Liam Kearns led Limerick were Kerry's Munster final opponents. Limerick had the first 2 points of the final before Kerry sprung into action.
Tomás drives the ball forward, but Limerick have this situation well under control. Stephen Lucy, but it's a poor ball by Lucy, checked by Liam Hassett for Kerry. To Colm Cooper, here comes Colm Cooper. In towards the 14, Mike Frank is inside. He was dies a goal for Kerry by Mike Frank Russell.
A brilliant goal by Mike Frank Russell. Liam Hassett to Colm Cooper. Colm Cooper to Mike Frank. And the Lone Rangers man hit the daisy cutter right into the back of the net. Even Seamus O'Donnell no chance. A great interception by Liam Hassett.
Well, here he comes anyway. Mike Frank with the left boot. He's not going to angle this one in. He is. That's a lovely point by Mike Frank Russell. A goal and a point to 2 points. 11 minutes gone in the game.
4 points in 9 minutes had Limerick in front. 6 points to 1-1. Worse was to come for Kerry in the 25th minute.
Lucy bursting forward, giving it to Quan again. Quan putting in the centre again. Then he drives a high ball inside. He's looking for John Gallivan here. Mike McCarthy unsided. But Mike McCarthy gets the side back. He's beaten by John Gallivan. John Gallivan's got a man inside him. Danger here, Stephen Levin. It's a goal for Limerick. A goal for Limerick by Stephen Levin.
The score read Limerick 1-6, Kerry 1-1. Gooch Cooper and Murish Gavin then swapped points. Two injury time scores saw Kerry move within touching distance. Half time, Kerry 1-4, Limerick 1-7. A low scoring second half ensued. It was 1-8 to 1-7 to Limerick entering the 19th minute. Owen Keating put the Treaty County 2 in front. Kerry were level by the 25th minute. 1-9 apiece became 1-10 each with 7 minutes to go. But there was no further scoring. Kerry had survived and Liam Hassett knows they were lucky to do so.
Limerick had their homework done for us above in the Gaelic grounds of Limerick and we were past lucky to get out of that with a draw. They brought again great intensity to that game.
Mike Frank Russell believes that game against Limerick and the subsequent replay worked to Kerry's advantage that season.
Absolutely. I remember playing in the Munster final in Limerick, the first game, and I just remember vividly Limerick were very aggressive the same day, you know, they honestly they came to soften us up, but I definitely think those two games helped us though as well, you know, definitely as the year went on, because I think they watched Tyrone and Armagh and they seemed to bring that kind of approach to it.
Jack O'Connor too feels Limerick were a team on the rise.
Limerick had a right good team, yeah. A lot of people underestimated them and kind of gave us no chance of winning the All-Ireland that year after having struggled against Limerick. But that was a right good Limerick team and Kevin's doing a great job with them. He'd won the Munster Under 21 with them, reaching the Under 21 final, All-Ireland final, and you know, he'd been playing a very kind of aggressive brand of football as well. They were big strong men. They had a big strong diamond around the middle of the field. They certainly were very aggressive. They put it right up to us both days.
There was a dramatic start to the replay in Killarney.
The throw-in and the replay of the Munster final is on, and it's John Quan for Limerick driving a huge ball inside, and he is skating inside here, and Hare's on the ground, and a goal! It's a goal for Limerick! A sensational goal for Limerick! Stephen Kelly, the scorer!
Before Kerry could recover from that shock, they found themselves trailing by 6 points. An 11th minute Dara O'Kaneda free was Kerry's first score of the afternoon. Limerick maintained their control, however, and led 1-6 to 2 points after 20 minutes. Kerry were approaching 15 minutes without a score. The Kingdom were looking for inspiration.
Kick out, going out between Dara O'Shea and John Quan. Can Dara O'Shea get up? He does, a grilling catch by Dara O'Shea. If we could see a little bit more of that. Then he sends the ball right across this side into Colm Cooper. Colm Cooper, he's up and on, blasted it! In by goal! A goal for Kerry by Owen Brosnan!
A brilliant goal by Owen Brosnan, feeling it high in the middle of the field by Dara O'Shea. Long ball in, the ball went to Colm Cooper, and the Goose got the ball beautifully, short to Tommy, gave the ball to Owen Brosnan, and the solicitor's son went right through the Dr. Croaksman, and when he gets into that position, he never misses. He hit an absolutely rocket of a shot.
Paul Galvin followed that with a point. After 31 minutes, it was 1-6 to 1-3. Kerry pulled level by half-time.
Tomás going in towards the 50. Still going in. Left footed from Tomás, dropping a high ball inside, but it's gone to the right and wide.
Penalty!
And Colm Cooper was dragged to the ground and trying to square. He couldn't go for the ball. And referee spotted it. And that is justice, in my opinion.
Yes, indeed. The ball came in from Mac O'Shea. The ball was going wide harmlessly. Colm Cooper tried to get it. He was held back by one of the defenders inside in the small square, let me add. And a penalty for Kerry. No doubt at all about it. He was held back. Penalty for Kerry. The Gooch was fouled.
Yes, Dara O'Kaneda to Seamus O'Donnell. Dara O'Kaneda. A goal! Equaliser!
At half time, it was Kerry 2-3, Limerick 1-6. 4 minutes into the second half, Owen Keating put Limerick ahead once more. Dara O'Kineda equalised. Kerry then hit the front through an unlikely source.
And the box free take inside towards Dara O'Kineda. O'Kineda in possession, turning inside his man. He's gone past through Limerick players. O'Kineda in a very good run here, but the ball knocks away from him. However, he gets it out to Mike Frank. Mike Frank to play for Castle. It's Tomas O'Shea, a goal for Kerry! Tomas O'Shea!
A goal for Kerry, Mike Frank, Russell Gillian has it. Tomas O'Shea was away up in the backs. And he was at the end of that move. And a great pass by Liam Hassett to Tomas O'Shea. And he's in the ground, right along the ground. Past Seamus O'Donnell. No hope whatsoever.
That 8 minute goal was added to as Kerry exerted their superiority.
And Dara O'Kineda sends it straight over the ball. Cooper comes out for it. Knocks it out neatly there to Liam Hassett. Gets the return. Slips it inside. Here's Owen Brosnan going in. Owen Brosnan. Over the bar by Owen Brosnan.
It was now 3-6 to 1-7 in Kerry's favour, with 30 minutes gone in the second half. The next 10 minutes yielded just 1 point apiece. Limerick were then handed a lifeline.
Free for Galloway and for Limerick. Conor Moran to take it. He's sending a high ball inside. Danger here. Matt Corsi is cut out. Oh, here comes a great chance for Limerick. A great save by Damon Murphy from Owen Keating. It's a penalty for Limerick. They have a 5 point lead. It's going to be put to two. Here it comes. And it's into the back of the net with a rasper of a shot by Owen Keating. And Limerick are very much back into this game.
1 minute later, Limerick scored again. A Murish Gavin point, meaning there was a solitary score separating the teams. Kerry 3-7, Limerick 2-9. However, Limerick would not manage another score that afternoon, as Kerry with 3 points in the 28th, 32nd and 37th minutes secured a hard-earned win.
Here comes Mike Frank with the left foot again. It wasn't working too well in the first half. Has he improved it? He has, off the upright. They're racing for it. But down they go for the ball over there. It's won by one of the Kerry forwards. I think it's Dara O'Kineda. He's fouled and it's a free in. Good work indeed by the Kerry men. Dara O'Kineda has a great chance now from the 14-yard line. Here he comes, strikes it high and sends it over the bar. 3-8 to 2-9. Up they go for it. Dara O'Shea hauling it brilliantly. Giving it to Sean Sullivan. He's off already. He's brought down. It's a free in for Kerry. 35 yards out straight in front of the post. He took off like a hunted hare. Dara O'Kineda sends it in and over the bar. He's been very, very efficient after freeze today. Except for one on the angle on the right-hand side of the East End wide. 3-9 to 2-9. Dara O'Kineda placing a very important free. This will be the insurance point for Kerry should he send it over. He's just maybe 5 or 6 yards to the left of the post. Dara O'Kineda sends it high and sends it over the bar.
Victory was Kerry's, 3-10 to 2-9.
The greatest day. The story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group. Proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 2.
Dublin were next up for the kingdom in Croke Park. Cullum Cooper says it was an experience like no other.
It was a huge game, you know. I hadn't experienced anything like playing against Dublin in a full Croke Park or anything like that. That day, I'll never forget the volume coming from Hill 16, you know. I'd heard all about it, but until you're actually out there, you can't actually hear the guy 2 feet away from you. It's that loud, you know.
The All-Ireland quarter-final against Dublin saw Kerry start like the proverbial house on fire.
Paddy Kelly gets in his pass inside to Eamon Fitzmaurice. Eamon Fitzmaurice comes up a little bit, gives Cullum Cooper, who seems to have plenty space. Cullum Cooper to Declan O'Sullivan. Declan O'Sullivan turning back to Cullum Cooper. Cullum Cooper, 30 yards out, sends a bullet of a high shot and has gone over the bar. First score of the game after 32 seconds from Cullum Cooper. A great chance here. Declan O'Sullivan inside in the small parallelogram. He's surrounded by Dublin players, but the referee is awarding a free in from just outside the 14-yard line. And Dara O'Kineda over the bar. 2 points to no score after 3 minutes. Kerry lead.
Dublin had 4 points in a row after that to go into a 4-2 lead after 17 minutes. Kerry spurned a goal chance a minute later. The Kingdom had to wait until the 25th minute for their third score of the day. That point, Kerry's first in 22 minutes, meant Kerry trailed by the minimum with 10 minutes to half-time. Kerry had Dermot Murphy to thank for keeping the lead to that single point.
Shane Ryan coming away with it. Shane Ryan, 50 yards out from the Kerry goal. This is a great run. Dropping that ball inside towards Jason Sherlock. Here comes danger. He's passed his man. He takes a low shot inside. A second attempt, but Murphy has saved them both.
Cullum Cooper had had Kerry level on the half-hour mark. Senan Connell put Dublin back in front. Then the Kerry goal had another lucky escape.
And Alan Brogan has won that again. Transfers to Kieran Whelan in space. Here's Kieran Whelan racing into the square. Bang! And it hits the upright. Hits the upright and comes a mile out the field.
On the stroke of half-time, Dara O'Kineda pointed. Kerry, despite a lethargic first half, went in level at the break at 5 points each. Dara O'Kineda put over twice in the first 4 minutes of the second period to send Kerry into a 7 points to 5 lead. Senan Connell then halved the deficit. 12 minutes into the half came the telling moment.
Colin Cooper turning. Colin Cooper going in towards the 21. A great chance for him, and it's high, and it's come back up the upright. Well, Dara O'Kineda, back of the net. A goal for Kerry by Dara O'Kineda.
Having outscored Dublin 1-4 to a single point in the opening 16 minutes, Kerry had moved into a 1-9 to 6 points lead. Dublin hit back for a point of their own, but the Kingdom were relentless.
Here's a great chance. Dara O'Kineda. Oh, it's not Dara O'Kineda.
It's William Kirby.
William Kirby was the man who saw ghost it up and send it over the bar. Owen Brosnan, the Dublin defence, still standing firm. Nice ball inside for Kellen Conham Cooper. He turns. He falls. He gives it back outside. And once again, it's hooked over the bar by William Kirby again. Dick Nussallon, who's shown great potency and winning the ball well coming out, gets it back here. Takes it on the left foot now. Sends it in. Sends it high and sends it over the bar. Declan O'Sullivan is back. Liam Hassett has got Declan O'Sullivan with him. Ignores Declan O'Sullivan. Decides he's going to go himself. Then chips a lovely ball inside to Colin Cooper on the right foot. High and over the bar. Getting across to Paul Gallivan, his club mate. Paul Gallivan 50 yards out. 40 yards out. A great chance for a point here, and Paul Gallivan gets it.
Yeah,
plays and through.
Well, I'm delighted Paul Gallivan got his point. We're talking about him all day. The men from Pinot, he's like the Scarlet Pimpernel. They seek him here, they seek him there, they seek him everywhere. But he's up and down the field, in and out. He was at the end of that passing movement. He's covered every blade of grass in Croke Park today.
The last of those points gave Kerry a 1-14 to 7 points lead entering the 33rd minute. Dublin gold by the end, but come the final whistle, it was Kerry who prevailed 1-15 to 1-8. Derry were the final barrier between Kerry and a place in the All-Ireland decider. The sides exchanged points early on before Kerry took over.
Here's Dara O'Kineda. Can he kick this 45? Better than he kicked the free. Here he comes. Kerry 1 point. Derry 1 point. Dara O'Kineda. And it's gone. Over the bar. Form is back. That's good news. Colin Cooper. Can he punish it? He does. Send it over the bar.
It was 4 points to 1 in Kerry's favour, just 13 minutes into proceedings. The game was tied 2 minutes later.
Up they go for it. And Muldoon has won it. He's coming back, trying to get past. Mark Shears in there tackling as well. And have they beaten him? They haven't. Muldoon has got it. He's coming in, and Jeremy Murphy. It's a goal! Derry! A goal for Derry by Enda Muldoon.
Derry then went 2 points in front, and worse was to follow for the Kingdom.
Dean Hassett. Can he tame Dean Hassett? Has slipped. They have to play this ball. He plays it back to Emil Fitzmaurice. Fitzmaurice is going to get a rattling here. He does. Gets it in the middle to Colin Cooper. He's 70 yards out though. That's Aidan O'Mahony. He's got a bit of space around him. Aidan O'Mahony going on. He's trying his luck to go away to the left and wide.
When all that was going on, Dara O'Shea was down the middle of the field. He wins for the last ball. He seemed to have a hot one. One of his ankles. It's his left ankle actually that's injured at the moment. And remember that he has been troubled by an ankle injury for a long time. The referee is stopping the game. He's going up to now. In actual fact, it's his right ankle. I'm looking at it from your right ankle. Charlie, can you see anything from down there?
Yeah, I actually saw what happened. It was just a shoulder charge by Darren, one of the Derry midfielders. I think it was on Fergal Doherty.
O'Shea left the field after 21 minutes. When Paddy Bradley pointed for Derry in the 27th minute to make it 1-4 to 4 points in their favour, Kerry had now gone a quarter of an hour without registering a score. They made up for lost time in the remaining minutes of the half.
Michael Capty gives it to Declan. Declan has taken him on again. He's bowled over. That's going to be free in for Kerry from a much nearer distance. And a great chance this time for Colin Cooper from about 40 yards out and slightly to the right of the post. Well, it's 1-4 to 4 points. It's 1-4 to 5 points. And Colin Cooper sends that one over. Nice ball in the centre by Paul Gallivan. Marshall Shea brought down there. Well, it's fair shoulder. Well, perhaps and perhaps not. But here's a chance. And it's sent over the bar by William Kirby. Good run by Paul Gallivan. Paul Gallivan drops the ball, gets it back. Mike Frank was looking for it. Paul Gallivan takes his own shot. And he sends it high and over the bar. Equaliser by the fellow man, Gallivan. And another man who's playing quite well. And he sends it across. Marshall Shea over the bar.
Tomás O'Shea, the great man of great power. time there, took a quick line ball and gave it to Paul Gallivan, the Finogue man. The Finogue man turned around, Tomás O'Shea came up to support him, he gave the ball back to O'Shea, and O'Shea, as what he's wanted all the year, coming up to the attack, and with a lovely pull from out inside the 45, put Kerry ahead.
That burst of four unanswered points gave Kerry a slender lead come the break. 8 points to 1-4. The Kingdom began the second half as they had ended the first, making light of Dara O'Shea's absence.
That's a great bit of fielding by Gallivan. And Gallivan links up with Owen Brosnan. Owen Brosnan trying one of his specials from out the field. Carroll's in, and Carroll's over the bar. Declan O'Sullivan. A lovely pass inside by Declan O'Sullivan. Inside there for White Pack. That's a glorious point. Tomás O'Shea again. How did he appear up there? And well, he did. And he sends it over the bar. Okay, the transfer to Mike Frank. Mike Frank transfers it high and transfers it over the bar. Lovely point for Kerry. They've gone into the lead by now 11 points to 1-4. Okinada swings it in gloriously over the bar. Well, that's a very good kick indeed by Dan Okinada. Over comes now to Mike Frank with the left foot. Mike Frank over the bar. Glorious point by Mike Frank Russell. Colin Cooper making his usual sideways run, sending it high, sending it over the bar. Lovely Colin Cooper having a great game today.
Those 6 points in a row put Kerry well on the road to another All-Ireland final appearance. They were now leading by 14 points to 1-4. Double scores with 20 minutes to go. Kerry's final score of the day arrived on the half-hour mark. Derry registered 5 points in the closing minutes to give the final score a more respectable look of 117 to 111. Kerry could now plan for an All-Ireland final, but had to do so without the services of Dara O'Shea. The injury that forced him off against Derry brought a premature end to his season. Initially, it was hoped that maybe he might make a speedy recovery, but Jack O'Connor says they had to admit defeat in that respect.
He made a tassel in his foot that he broke, and he was still all the old hopes that maybe he'd recover in time, but those injuries take a good bit of time. They're 6 or 7 week injuries, so unfortunately it rolled him out, and we had to rejig the team a bit, and people must remember as well that Seamus Minehan didn't start that final either.
The All-Ireland final was to be against a Mayo outfit who required a replay to see off Fermanagh in their last four encounter. John Crowley got the nod to start for Kerry against Mayo as the Kingdom set about exploiting the Mayo defence. Colm Cooper says in the weeks preceding the match, they had explored the prospect of testing Mayo's resolve onto the high ball.
Well, Jack made an observation, and the mentoring team did a couple of weeks leading into the match. He felt that these guys mightn't have been tested too much over their head. We felt that might be an area that we could try and exploit, particularly with Darrell Canada and Johnny Crowley, who were particularly good over their head. We felt that that was an avenue that we could explore and see would it work out. Yeah, but we tried it in training a bit, and we talked about it, we talked it through, and just come on the final day, it was just everything we kicked in seemed to stick.
John Crowley believes getting the start against Mayo was just reward for his efforts in training, but realised they now had to ensure their tactic paid off.
I'd never have been there if I hadn't shown form in training, because, you know, Jack would say that he would pick his teams on form, you know. I suppose you're going to go horses for courses, as proved after, you would say, with Kieran Donaghy, and, you know, they've used my quirk and things like that, and in full forward, and you kind of go what you have, and obviously that would be one of my strengths. In the air I'd be strong enough, like, and I mean, certainly if I wouldn't catch it, I'd knock it down and things like that. And we knew Gooch was pretty handy in the air, and you had Derek Kinnead beside me, who's an excellent fielder as well, like, and obviously Jack had said that after, the Mayo backs weren't the tallest, like, you know, and, you know, that was just the way it worked out for them, so it was worth a try. I mean, it mightn't have come off at all, you know. The centre back could have cleared up the first three balls, like, and the boys could have stopped it, but the biggest thing is we had to get, you know, the confidence of the half back line to do it, like, and that's what you really need. And in fairness to Tomás Shea and the lads that were there that day, like, they weren't afraid, you know, they had the confidence in the full forward line to do that, like, and to send the possession into us, like, you know. But I mean, it was a wonderful move, but, like, tactically Kerry have been using it certainly for the last 7 or 8 years now to good effect.
Jack O'Connor admits the decision to drop Mike Frank Russell in order to start John Crowley was not a straightforward one.
John had a patchy year. He had been taken off in that Limerick game in Killarney, and he was putting in a big sacrifice because he was living up in Cork and he had a young family, and, you know, I just told him to keep the head down, that eventually his break would come, and he started coming into form 4 or 5 weeks before the All-Ireland, and it was very hard on Mike Frank, but we felt that we could do with Crowley inside there, because he just is just an awful strong man, and he's able to create a lot of room for himself when, you know, a lot of hard independent balls. So we went for him. It was a marginal enough call. We went for him the final, and I think he repaid our faith in him.
John Crowley believes the decision to apply these particular tactics against Mayo may have been a product of the previous season's All-Ireland exit at the hands of Tyrone.
It was all this blanket defence kind of thing at the time, and Tyrone had swamped us the year before with that blanket defence, whereas we would have been more of a kind of a quick moving football team at that stage, like, you know. So definitely we changed our tactics a small bit, you know, to try to counteract and maybe to get a bit more physical and to, you know, and to toughen up a small little bit, you know what I mean, which you have to do. But like, again, you adapt, like, you know, to what you have. Like, you certainly, there's no point kicking in, say, high balls to the likes of, say, if you had Derek Savage or small corner forwards. You have to go with the type of player that you have.
The greatest day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles, brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 3.
Kerry settled better, registering 2 points in the opening 2 minutes from Dara O'Kaneda and Mark O'Shea. Mayo were not to be outdone, and after Kieran MacDonald pointed, the Westerners went in front.
Gardner up along the wing for James Gill. No ball inside. First time on Mortimer. He's dispossessed by Mike McCarthy. When he wins it back, and McCarthy thought he was fouled. And that's a goal. It's a great chance! A great chance for Mayo, and it's a goal for Mayo! Alan Dillon, the scorer!
Just 4 minutes into the decider, Mayo were ahead by 1-1 to 2 points. But Kerry didn't trail for too long.
Gary Ryan getting it out for the toss. Pat Kelly. They're robbed, however. William Kirby. Oh, he sends it over the bar. But Colin Cooper was straight inside. And if he got the pass, that Nick could have bulged there. However, they're Kerry back to within a point. O'Kaneda sidesteps a couple of players. He's coming in and under to the end line. He's brought down another free into the 14-yard line. This is going to be the equaliser for Kerry for sure.
And that was a lovely run by Kinnear. He looked very good there. He looked very fresh. He looked very fit. And he looked very lively. It was all made by Colm Cooper. Johnny Crowley to Colm Cooper. Cooper to O'Kaneda. O'Kaneda rounded his man. And I must say, I haven't seen him round his man so well for a long time. He was pulled down. He tipped this over the bar.
It's sent high and it's sent over the bar. The equaliser.
And Brian Maloney point after 11 minutes had Mayo in front for what would be the last time. Two scoring bursts in the first half put Kerry on their way. The first began in the 12th minute.
A huge high ball in direction of Colin Cooper. Cooper, that's it out to Johnny Crowley. It's Crowley to O'Kaneda. O'Kaneda at an angle over the bar. A lovely point by Dara O'Kaneda.
A lovely point by Dara O'Kaneda. High ball went in, and once again it was Colin Cooper gave to Johnny Crowley. Johnny Crowley to Kaneda. And Kaneda, for 1 minute, the goal loomed in front of him. But the ball just bounced away, that little bit away from him. But he got it. He got the ball in the bounce, turned around, and from an off-field angle, slipped the ball over the bar there. Dara O'Kaneda, the captain.
When you look out now and see Colin Cooper, he's towering over Gerard Gerrard, who's very small. He's a small, fast
and he's
knocker.
Feeding the ball over.
He's feeding it over his head. That's why they're sending it in high. They've their homework done on Gerrard here. The ball coming inside. Johnny Crowley again. Johnny Crowley. He's got Cooper inside him. He's brought down. It's going to be free in just outside the small parallelogram, and that's going to be a card. And over the bar, and Kerry going for the lead again. A long, long, long feed. Dara O'Kaneda is inside. Dara O'Kaneda fishes, and it's over the bar. A lovely fist to the back of the fist from Dara O'Kaneda. Misses brilliantly and over the bar.
Over the bar. That was a superb fight by Canadian William Kirby, the Aston X-Men. Kerry beginning to dominate out around the middle of the field now. Kirby got that ball. A big, long, high ball came in. And you see, this is like a point you see scored in the junior East Kerry League game back in the 50s. When a fella leaning back, he puts the ball over the bar. Liam, to very seldom we see a point like that scored.
Not nowadays. I was fairly good at it myself, reaching my time. Owen Brosnan tries a big, long one. Dropping inside to Johnny Crowley. Crowley has it. And he's on the 14. Gives it to Cooper. Cooper turns and sends it over the bar. Great work by these Kerry men there.
17 minutes gone, and the Kingdom led by 8 points to 1-2. Kieran MacDonald pulled a point back from Mayo, but to no avail, as Kerry came to the fore again.
The ball breaking out to Declan. Declan O'Sullivan. Trying to get into space. Left foot high by Declan O'Sullivan, and over the bar by Declan O'Sullivan.
Declan O'Sullivan, the Drummond Pearsons man, that little club there and down in South Kerry. That's where Jack O'Connor comes from. High ball came in, it was broken out to Declan, and Declan O'Sullivan, the Drummond Pearsons man. A lovely point by him there. Great, great point by him. Liam, all high ball gone in by Kerry. All high ball, and it's working to perfection.
And Heaney is bursting out. He falls to the ground. He's robbed. And robbed by Canadian. Here's Cooper. But the ball is going to be weak. It's not. It's over the bar. And lovely angle point by Colm Cooper from half a chance.
A lovely point by Colm Cooper, the man from Arsene Woolley. On the outskirts of Killarney on the top road. Lovely point.
It's a free for Kerry. 70 yards out from their own goal. Eamon Fitzmaurice to take it. Is he going to take a big high one again? He is. In the general direction of Colm Cooper. Cooper fills it down. Billings Murphy. Here's Colin Cooper. He's taking on his man. He's going in on goal. A goal for Kerry by Colin Cooper. Marvellous, marvellous goal.
Oh, superb, superb, superb. Colin Cooper, wonderful, wonderful goal by the Dr. Cook. High ball came in. He caught it high over his head. Turned around, left his man for dead. Sold to Jimmy. Went around his man. And with the left leg, hit it into the corner of the net. That was absolutely superb. Kept his eye on the ball. Kept his balance. What poise. What skill. What a wonderful player.
Colm Cooper's goal against Mayo, even at this relatively early stage, was the final nail in the coffin. Cooper says the goal was on his mind from the moment he gained possession.
I just remember Eamon Fitzmaurice. We were awarded a free. And Eamon just like the ball was going in long. We seemed to be on top. So Eamon launched another one in. And I just came out. And I knew I had a yard on my man, so I just leapt up in the air and the ball stuck, and I think he probably jumped a little bit behind me, and I knew I had hit the ground a second or two before him, so if I got away from him, I didn't think he'd catch me, so I kind of had a goal in my mind going in along the canal end, and someone came across and I just bounced it back inside, and it was an easy touch into the corner at that stage. So it was a big score, I suppose. It gave us a bit of a cushion before half time against Mayo, and it was one we didn't relinquish, and it was a special goal in Croke Park and on final day, and I certainly won't forget it, I'd say.
Kerry had racked up one goal and 11 points inside 27 minutes to Mayo's 1-3. The Kingdom led by 12-4 points at half time. Kerry, in front by 8 points at the break, continued to keep Mayo at bay. 14 minutes into the half, it was Kerry 1-16, Mayo 1-5. There was no danger of Kerry being caught, and the 4-year gap was about to be bridged.
It's all over. A goal and 20 to 2 goals and 9, and I scored after 10 minutes of the game, at 15 anyhow. There was never any doubt of where Sam Maguire was going for 2004. It was going to the Kingdom and Darrow Canadian.
All-Ireland number 33 was secured on a scoreline of Kerry 120, Mayo 2-9. Mike Frank Russell dropped for the final, closed the scoring that day after coming on as a sub. He says it was a fitting end to what had still been a successful season for him.
I was still actually happy enough the way I played that year. I ended up top scorer in the championship, so you know. But I think, you know, I came on in that game as well. So I think it just, I think a lot of players' mentality is changing now. There's, you know, you can still have a role to play. There's players coming in the whole time because the game is so fast now as well, you know. But thankfully we came out the right side of it. Anyway, growing up in Kerry, you always dream of kicking a point in the All-Ireland final, and you know, a winning point. So well, the winning point now, but you know, it's nice to get a point at the end of a game and final whistle blowing and see the Kerry supporters coming on. You know, it's something you'll always bring with you, you know.
For Kerry manager Jack O'Connor, the success was a dream fulfilled, as he revealed in the moments following the full time whistle.
This is lovely, man, here. See those young fellas up there lifting that cup. They worked so hard for it. We felt all during the week and this morning that we wouldn't be beaten. They deserve it, Gary. This team has taken a lot of criticism over the last 3 years, but look, it's all worthwhile.
Colm Cooper was among those winning a first All-Ireland medal in 2004. Cooper says that victory answered their critics.
The special one is probably always your first one, you know. The first one that you win, of course. I remember just things going so well against Mayo in 2004. We'd been beaten in a final in 2002, well beaten in 2003 in a semi-final, so there was probably question marks over the team coming into the final, you know, and it was just an unbelievable feeling just to, you go kind of go numb when the final whistle goes, you say, think to yourself, has it really come true, you know, and just making your way over to the stand and seeing your family and your parents and just roaring, laughing, and it's a great feeling, and there's a sense of relief there as well that on the biggest day that you've performed for your team and you've won probably one of the biggest sport events in the country, and it's probably only when you look back at it a couple of months later or a couple of years later that you realise how special it was.
Speaking after he had brought the Sam Maguire back to the Kingdom, Kerry captain Dara O'Kaneda felt the disappointments of the previous seasons only added to the joy on this occasion.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge highlight, Joe. It's delightful, unbelievable scenes of joy and jubilation here, I think, and relief on top of everything else. You know, it's a huge outpouring of emotion between young and old, and it's just great to see. No, you can never get enough of them either, Joe. You know, unfortunately, I suppose in Kerry, 3 years is a long wait, you know, and it, you know, it's a very long coming round. We've been very, very low for the last couple of years with results that went against us, but I think in a strange kind of way, that makes the high all the higher.
Johnny Crowley was in agreement with O'Kaneda.
Delighted, I suppose, after the defeats of the last couple of years, like the Armagh and the Meats and the Tyrone thing has been. So heartbreaking for a lot of lads. I say if we lost yesterday, it was the finish of a good few lads. But it was a great victory and a very comprehensive and decisive, I'd say. So that's the most satisfying part of it. I mean, today was, or the last day was the day we played the best all year, like, so that was the day to do it.
Seamus Moynihan believes Kerry's first half display against Mayo was as good as he'd seen from that bunch of players.
From the present era, yes, definitely. You know, obviously in the 70s and 80s, probably there's been fantastic, and obviously the best teams that have from Kerry were, it was that era, but I've never seen a better exhibition of football in the first 35 minutes anyway.
Kerry selector Joe O'Keefe had some choice words for the side's critics.
We had the homework done since last October. You know, we had only one thing in our minds at the start of the year. We knew that this team was good enough. Over the last couple of days, we've been very calm. No pressure. The build-up only started just about 5 minutes before we got on the bus coming to Croke Park. Nothing major. These guys knew what they were at. There's been 3 years of disappointments, and to hell with all those pundits who didn't give us any plaudits. We're Sam Maguire winners and we deserve it.
Legendary broadcaster Jimmy McGee was among the watching crowd as Kerry reclaimed the All-Ireland title.
What a day for the kingdom. What a day. 101 years since they first won it. They win it 33 times now. So that's once every 3 years. Class is permanent, boy. They won it in the first half, of course. They played brilliantly in the first half. They won midfield. I don't think Mayo won a kick out all day, did they? Kerry got every ball. They got every breaking ball. And then, of course, there were individual displays. Kinnead, I was delighted for him. Oh, Kinnead, he showed early for ball, but looked sharp, looked on for it. He was terrific. No goal on at all. And I mean, most fellas would have either lost the ball, gone for a point, or driven it wide, or look around for someone to give it to. If David Beckham did this, Lord, he'd be a Galactico, wouldn't he? But he made the goal himself, came in, found a space, and slotted it in the net. But it's not just that. He can go from a standing start to 60 miles an hour like a Ferrari. And if you show him a side, he say, thank you, I'll go that way. Because with both feet, he can score from either side. He's up in the Mikey Sheehy Morris Fitzgerald class, and that's some class.
Reflecting on that first year in charge, Jack O'Connor admits it wasn't an easy one and that the job is all-consuming.
You don't feel it when you're in the thick of it because you're just so focused on it, but it is a difficult job. It's every minute you're waking day, you're thinking about it and you're planning things and you're trying to get fellas motivated and all the rest of it. You see, the players have it even easier when you think about it because they only have to think of themselves, whereas the manager and the management have to think of the whole setup and not just the players but the backroom team and the whole thing. So, yeah, but sure, there's great satisfaction as well when it comes together then, because sure, there's nothing like winning in Kerry. You're a hero when you win.
You've been listening to The Greatest Day, a 36-part series documenting the story of Kerry's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories. The Greatest Day was presented by John Drummy, written by Joe O'Mahony, and researched and produced by the Radio Kerry Sports team. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland Sound and Vision Scheme.
The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams.